This is the Lombardi Line with Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome in, everybody, on a Friday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Mike Palm and Stormy Bonantoni with you live from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. We got a pair of elimination games coming up tonight in the NBA. The NHL postseason is officially set, and the countdown to the NFL draft continues less than a week away now, Mike, before we finally get some answers to a lot of big questions.
What are you looking forward to more, the Stanley Cup playoffs or the draft?
Ooh, I would say that the Stanley Cup playoffs. Looking at these, a lot of these first round matchups that I can't believe are first round matchups. That
nice
these are
stars.
Yeah, like games that you'd like to see later on deeper. I think we're going to get a really good opening round, and hopefully that just means that the path to whoever wins the cup is going to be battle tested and really fun and competitive.
Bruins, Leafs, a good first round matchup.
Yes. Which we're going to have Nick Alberga on the program later on today, who covers the Leafs closely, get his intel and insight on what he thinks will shake out there. That's a coin flip series, no?
Yeah, I think it's priced about right. $1.20 home ice to the Bruins, but I wouldn't be shocked if Toronto came out of that.
They exercised some first-round demons last year.
They did. I'm also very interested to see if Jim Montgomery will stick to his platoon. He says the first four games, no matter the result, he's going A, B, A, B. I'm assuming all Mark Swayman, all Mark Swayman.
What about the Golden Knights goaltending situation? They haven't decided who's starting.
Well, Aiden Hill has the best save percentage in the NHL. Are you not going to start Aiden Hill?
You would think. He led you to the cup last year.
Stormy, did you watch the game last night with the Knights?
I didn't. I didn't see last night's game.
You'd take a lot of convincing to me that they weren't trying to lose that game. I know they swept the Stars this year, but I would have rather played Edmonton. And then here are the Kings up 3-1 to the Blackhawks. They give up three goals on three shots. And then Blackhawks take a stupid penalty with 2 minutes to go. They tie it, which is all they needed to do for the Kings to clinch the three, was to go to overtime to get 1 point. And so now Kings will go to Edmonton and the Knights go to Dallas. I'm not sure that that's the best path, but...
Well, I wouldn't have loved either way, but yes, I agree. I think that Edmonton, I would have been the preferred team. Dallas has been so consistent and good throughout the course of the year. And you mentioned the sweep, the most recent game in that sweep being December 9th, which is a long time ago.
And they were close, low-scoring games.
Right. Whatever went to a shootout.
Yeah.
So last night, the only reason that I wasn't like fully dialed into that game, I had it up on one of the TVs, but a good friend of mine was in the gymnastics national semifinals yesterday. So I was very dialed into all things gymnastics with the national championship coming up on Saturday. But unfortunately, we can't bet on that. I'm trying to tell you, we need to get gymnastics odds up here at Circa.
But just for her. Can we just do it for her?
For one person? Fine. See if it... So I know that it's like a judgment-based thing for individuals, but we can't do any odds for like team-wise, no?
Oh, they could. I'm sure they could.
I think it'd be worthwhile.
If you're going to put the time and effort into putting the market up, you have to have some expectation people are going to bet into it.
All right. Well, I guess I can't be your only handle. That's fine. But like I said, we do have two big games coming up today to determine the eighth seed in the Eastern and Western Conference in the NBA. My big takeaway, unfortunately, though, as we look ahead to the NBA postseason and these games tonight, is the lack of star power because of key players being injured. No Jimmy Butler going to be out there for the Heat tonight. No Zion Williamson for the Pelicans. And then, of course, in the Eastern Conference, Giannis Antetokounmpo dealing with his injury, and he's not going to be available early.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down here. It's the storyline is who isn't playing tonight. I lean Kings, and we'll talk later this hour, right? We have an NBA guest that's going to be on, Noobs Christensen. I really do lean Kings tonight, and I think he feels the same way. I was impressed with their game against Golden State, although Golden State, outside of Draymond, didn't look like they really wanted to be there in that game. But I like the distribution. Murray from Iowa had a huge game for them. So I think they have a lot of momentum rolling forward with Mike Brown here. The most surprising thing to me about the NBA playoffs is you have three lower seeds favored in series in these first round matchups. Has that ever happened before, that three teams without home court were favored? We'd have to have our statisticians in the audience go back and look that up.
No, it is a unique situation, especially like in the first round when you're supposed to have the lopsided matchups. The fact that we're not, like even the 76ers and the Knicks going head to head with the odds being what they are there. What was your initial thought before we get back to these games here quickly? What was your initial thought after the 76ers win to cement their spot in that 7-2 game, considering the way that Joel Embiid looked?
Well, I mean, I think that's great that they got the Knicks and you stay out of the Celtics bracket side of the bracket until, and I guess with Giannis' status, they're the most likely team to come out of the East if it's not the Celtics? Isn't that hard to believe to say when all the years they were healthy, they couldn't win anyhow? But I was talking to JVT because I was on with he and Mitch the other morning, and I asked him in the East, he's like, it's like only he can only make an argument for the Sixers.
Yeah.
He can't really make an argument for any other team.
Well, that's the thing about the East in general, though. Like, I know all along we've been saying, is it the Celtics and everybody else? But is minus 175 even, like, short for them now? Like, who else legitimately is going to beat them in a best of seven?
Well, I mean, you can make the argument that you can lay the 175 now, and when they get to a final series, they're going to be a much bigger favorite in any one series where you'd have value and you could play it with game plus minus games if you wanted to. It's hard to believe that they would be upset before they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, you poo-pooed the bet at even money 6 weeks ago, and now it's like a runaway. At the same time, we were saying, are you really going to take only 5-1 with the UConn men? And by the time you get there, you're laying $2.
We talked about, right? Like the Masters and Scottie Scheffler, like the cheap price, the plus 450 that he is pre-flop in the tournament, and how unbettable it feels like it is. And then going into the third round, what's he going
to
do?
But two holes into the Masters, he was plus 120. I mean, he went from 4-1, even at the shops that had him 4-1, he was plus 120.
What was he after the opening round to be top 10? Because he was minus two, he was $2 pre-flop.
Yeah.
Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah. I know we looked at it. We looked at it as well. But, I mean, it was some astronomical number, like minus 6,000.
It's just ridiculous. But they keep winning, right? Yeah. And so that's how we see the Boston Celtics favored in the Eastern Conference. But as far as tonight goes, so you like the Kings.
Yeah.
Even though, like, the Pelicans did go 5-0 straight up in ATS against the Kings this season. Obviously, different situation. No Zion. Brandon Ingram coming out early of the game the other day. So what his impact will be. But I was looking through the games that the Kings have played without Zion recently. Won 6 of their last 8 games without him, including one against Sacramento, if that plays into any of your thought process there.
Oh, I said I was leaning.
Leaning.
I don't know if I'll end up
play. I'm playing devil's advocate because I lean Sacramento too. I'm not a big NBA bettor to begin with. I like watching the games, and this time of year is fun, but I'm not... It's hard when you see Zion put up 40 and then know he's not going to play in this game.
I know. When he went out, you knew he wasn't going to play. I mean, there would no reason for him to come out of that game unless he was really hurt. I mean, with a chance to lock up a playoff spot. So we'll see. I actually watched the entire Kings Warriors game the other night. I don't know if I've watched an entire NBA game, but I thought it was very, you know, I thought, are we witnessing the end of an era here with Golden State? And then they cut it to 4 at half and then just could not get over the hump in the second half. And you know, the Kings give them credit. I mean, I don't know that in the first half, the Golden State didn't even have an offensive rebound, right? So they dominated the boards and they shot the three well and we're on cruise control. So maybe I'm letting that play into the recency bias of watching that game. But I did have the Bulls the other night, a small bet on the Bulls, which was only up 5 going into the fourth quarter. But then they got daylight pretty quickly and there wasn't much of a sweat.
That was kind of a boring game. Yeah, which is nice when you can have those rocking chair fourth quarters for you. All-time game by Kobe White certainly as well. Have you seen anything on Alex Caruso? I just saw him being game time decision today with that ankle. So we shall see. But where things sit right now, Miami still, even without Jimmy Butler, 1.5-point favorite against the Bulls. Total 205 that game, 7 Eastern on ESPN. Winner gets Boston there in the Kings-Pelicans game. Winner gets OKC. We have also seen, and we'll carry some of this conversation into the next segment as well as we get into a lot of the NFL news and the draft news of the day. But massive movement in the market for number 2 overall. Jaden Daniels goes from minus 330 to right now minus 125. Drake May plus 270. He's even money right now to go number 2 overall. This coming off of the kind of mass meetings that the Commanders held this past week that included a contingent of 4 quarterbacks instead of just Jaden Daniels and these guys coming in on an individual basis. What's your initial thought on this movement?
This is the whole key to this draft, is you can just keep getting plus money. It moves so quickly based on nothing. I'm just speculation. I was listening to Primetime because I was driving yesterday afternoon, so I was listening to Primetime. You know, and Tim did a whole segment about all the people that are close to the Commanders organization, and nobody knows. Nobody knows. It's kept very tight to the vest. And so Any bet that you're making on this number two market is pure speculation. There's no fact to it at all. Even the people that are in the inner circle there don't know. The people that have been covering the team for decades have no clue, right? It's an individual decision, and that's going to be made. And so be careful as you dip your toe into this market. I mean, we might talk, you know, on Monday, and it's back to 250. Yeah. Who knows?
Speaking of the words that you use there, nobody knows. ESPN Commanders reporter John Keim was one of those people who said they're still not finalized on who they're going to draft at quarterback. Nobody knows for sure. Nobody has known. And he says he's talked to people close to Adam Peters, who will tell you he's not even telling them. And what's so interesting about this whole time of year in general with the GMs and things and leaked information that comes out through different insiders or people on Twitter, whatever it is, it's like the GMs are... If they're telling you something that's a secret, they expect you to keep it a secret. And if they're telling you things that they say are okay for a publication, that's usually because it's a lie. So what are we supposed to take out of any of it anyways? So at least I kind of respect the Commander's mentality of just like, don't tell anybody anything.
And essentially they have the first pick because...
Right. The draft starts at two.
The draft starts at two. So anything they have to say doesn't really affect them, right? Because... they have the first choice. There's nothing that where they can maneuver to try to keep somebody on the board. The whole board's open to them, right? Outside of Caleb Williams. So there's no need for them to do anything like that.
That is why at least Adam Peters did say in his press conference this week that they feel very comfortable sitting at number two, you know, whereas a lot of people might be trading out of some of these high picks, which we will discuss that and more when we come back. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. Lots to get to in the NFL, NBA, NHL. Stay with us right here.
Story Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you haven't already, make sure you head over to the new and improved VSiN.com. All that same great content you're used to, but with a fresh new look, including best bets from all of our show hosts, guests, and experts, betting splits, exclusive articles, including those by our guy, Michael Lombardi. And right now up on the website, too, with the NHL postseason set, Steve Mackinnon has a great breakdown of his top 12 betting concepts when it comes to the NHL postseason. Picks, plays, all that and more at VSiN.com. But where we're going to continue along here is the NFL. This is a primarily NFL-based show to begin with. And we talked about all of the odds movement that we've seen over the last 24 hours on who's going to go number two overall. Jaden Daniels from minus 330 to minus 125. Drake May from plus 270 now to even money. And that nobody really knows what the Washington Commanders are going to do. What did you make just quickly, and how much of this movement do you attribute to Daniels' agent going on Twitter and quote tweeting the Mike Florio, Chris Sims conversation about essentially like how ridiculous it feels that you're not optimizing your time with whichever prospect you feel like you are most likely to draft and wasting time essentially by bringing in all four at once?
Well, I think he was agreeing with what they were saying, that it was disrespectful to well, I don't know if that's the right word, but to his client and May to bring all these other folks in if you aren't serious about them. But then people are taking an inference from someone who's motivated to quote tweet something to make a point about trying to value his client and inferring, well, they must be very serious then. Like, this is an inference from an inference from a motivated tweet to move the market from 330 to now 125.
Well, look at what happened last year on a Reddit post of somebody who knew nothing about anything that moved Will Levis to be top three to go number one, right? Like, it's absurd things that happen. And then he ends up obviously going in the second round. Like, it's crazy how some of these markets move. With that said, because Jaden Daniels is such a cheap price now compared to what he's been all week, does that lend you to thinking maybe that is worth a bet at the number it is now?
It almost motivates me to bet him.
Yeah.
Because I think that the $182, $220 is more accurate. I think $350 was unreasonable as well. But geez, if he gets down to even money, it's almost hard not to take a shot at it.
Sure.
And
it's trending in that direction.
And in 96 hours, he might be $5 and you can go and bet May at plus 350.
That's a great point.
You could just keep taking plus money on these things because it's just stormy. It's a pendulum. It just keeps going back and forth based on, oh, that must mean something, right? Sure. Oh, Brian Kelly said for Washington. Right. I mean, they're just clinging to
that. I forgot about that.
Remember, yeah, he'll be great for Washington.
That was a good one. But like, honestly, every time that over the last 24 hours, every time I've refreshed the page to see what the latest odds are in this market, it's moved however many cents down, moved however many cents down. So see if you can get it at the bottom before that number goes back up, because you imagine the buyback will come at some point. Another piece of information will come out at some point. But yeah, you could probably get plus money on anybody in these markets if somebody says something that goes on social media.
Like, I sweat soccer games to bet like an under at plus 130 and then try to get through 20 minutes to get it at plus 110 on the over, right? I mean, I could just wait a few hours here and it moves more than that.
It's like live betting, but it's just here. So meanwhile, while the Commanders appear to stay put, while we don't know who they're going to take at number two overall, the Patriots said yesterday the number three pick is up for sale. Elliot Wolf telling reporters they're, quote, open for business. Should there be an offer worth while enough to move out of the spot, but they're comfortable staying put and selecting a quarterback as well from what he called a unique class. And you talked to Michael about this on the program yesterday.
Last week, that was one of the pressing three, or maybe I threw it into the pressing three about, don't you think the Patriots are likely to try to stockpile picks and give up because they're too far away? They're going to waste the first 2 years of this 5-year contract. And Michael did not agree with that, right? And said he doesn't agree they're far away. How good their defense was. The quarterback play was totally incompetent. If they had competent quarterback play, perhaps would have had a winning record. I can see this, though. I think this team is 2 to 3 years away from being competitive for a playoff spot. They were so slow. And you can say, well, look at the defense, only gave up so many points. But when the offense lags and doesn't move the football, it also creates unto itself the lower scoring games, right? And teams know they're not going to score and can play very conservatively. And I know you quoted at the end of the year, you know, three games they gave up 10 points and lost.
Yeah.
10 points.
That's brutal to go through a stretch of three games where you only give up 10 points and you lose all three of 10
games,
or less. They gave up 6 points and won
some
and
of those
lost.
Games were malaise with teams that weren't going to make the playoffs too at the end of the year. But I think they got to add a lot of size and speed and playmakers. And I think about, you know, this is kind of the holy grail of things, but I always go back to what Dallas did with Herschel Walker and then cutting all those guys they got that were veterans so that they could get those picks. Now they hit all the picks, right? And went from 1-15 to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. But I think that's how far away they are. I mean, they went through that stretch early in the year when they weren't mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, where they were like getting beat 40-0. I think the Saints beat them 37-0 in Foxborough. Dallas beat them like 39-3. I mean, they went through like, they were 150-3. They got outscored. They're way away from being competitive. I remember being on Mitch and Paul and they asked after like 5 weeks, who's the worst team in the NFL? I said, the Patriots. Like, the Patriots? I said, it's god awful. So it's interesting because how many can they stockpile? And they still have to your point, we were speaking before the show, they still got to come away with a quarterback.
Yeah.
So who's in that wish list for them that they think they can get early second round, later first round? Is it somebody they want they think they can get mid first round and move down? Now, this is where the draft calculus comes in, right? Mm-hmm. Where they got to kind of be able to be Nostradamus and predict who's going to be on the board. And maybe there's somebody under the radar that they're high on that's not in that big six of quarterbacks that they think is serviceable and they can use for a few years to become more competitive. But I think it makes sense for them. Everybody's talking about Harbaugh trading out. I think they are more likely to trade out of three than the Chargers are a five.
Then that also makes me ask the question, then who's paying the price then to trade up to three versus four or five? Because it's going to be more expensive.
Isn't it going to be a game time decision when they see who's taken second? I mean, if people really want Daniels and Washington takes May, then all of a sudden this New England's going to have to be ready to react when the second pick is in.
Sure.
Right? Because, and if it's somebody that wants May and he's still available because they picked Daniels, those offers are probably already out there, but they're all contingent on who the Commanders take.
The Patriots have 8 picks in the draft, 3 overall, as well as an early second and third. So number 34, number 68 overall. Their quarterback room currently consists of Jacoby Brissett and Bailey Zappi. So
of nothing.
They will
it
be
consists
needing something.
Of nothing.
The odds for, you know how like they have all of the division odds up and what position they'll take. The odds for the Patriots are not available because everybody just assumes that it's going to be a quarterback right now. And you already have the number 3 overall market up there. But regardless, this market is still extremely true, whether it's the Patriots picking in that spot or someone else, because if you're trading up, you're getting a quarterback. So Drake May is an even money favorite to be the third overall selection, followed by Jaden Daniels plus 115, JJ McCarthy plus 275.
He's even money to be second and even money to be third now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that.
Yeah. This market will continue to be on the move. Another team that has quarterback questions.
Let me ask you this story. Sure. Of those two, May and Daniels, which one is more conceivable that they don't get, that they're over 3.5? Let's put it that way. That they don't get taken second or third.
Drake May.
You think that's possible?
I'm
sure that's out there somewhere, right? You can isolate that.
Likely. Michael and I even talked about looking at those Exacta props for the order for 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. And we were looking at the 4-1 option of it being Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy.
Mm.
Like, not because I think that JJ McCarthy should be drafted number 3 overall, but just because it could happen. If there's somebody to get leapfrogged, I think it would be Drake May.
And would it be New England taking him, or is somebody going to trade with them to get him?
I don't know.
It'd have to be New England taking him, wouldn't it?
No matter what, it sickens me. He should not be the number 3 overall selection in the draft.
That's a very strong word.
I have a qualm.
That's strong. Is it more outrageous to you that McCarthy is 3 or Bo Nix goes first round?
Can the answer just be no? Like, it's either one is unacceptable to happen. And one of them is going to happen.
He won a national championship.
Not going to, but.
He won a title.
Sure. He's great on third down as well. Love that. I need more. And if you think that the Patriots are as bad as you say they are, if they were to take JJ McCarthy there, you're going to put a player who's only been surrounded by really talented players and done nothing but win on a bad team. Does that make sense to you?
You could put Drake May, who doesn't win anything at North Carolina, and he'd be more comfortable. I don't understand why. When did North Carolina become quarterback U? All of a sudden, they're BYU in Miami.
And none of them work out.
No, they don't. But just keep going back. Let's make the North Carolina guy top 5.
The big thing with Drake May is the Josh Allen comparisons. And there are a lot of people that doubted Josh Allen coming out in the draft as well, myself included. But he was able to, after that first year or two, get on the right track because he had the right mentorship. And I think people just assume and believe, because of the physical tools and gifts Drake May has, that if he's in the right hands of somebody, he can be molded into a Josh Allen type. I understand the upside
size, because
factor,
of the size,
the upside factor, but he wouldn't be my pick either. Like, I've covered Drake May up close and personal, and I haven't seen him being a day one starter in the NFL based on what I've seen in person. So
I watched him play against Notre Dame. I wasn't impressed.
But it doesn't matter at the end of the day what we think. It matters what these teams and coaches and scouts and GMs and other personnel think. And he's going to go top 5.
This is the Lombardi Line with Scorri Bonantoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Here at VSiN, for a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free when you sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match that public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage, though. This is a limited time offer. VSiN.com/splits is how you can claim your free 2 weeks of access to VSiN's betting splits. Back here at Circa Resort and Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Stormy Bonantoni and Mike Palm with you as we get into a little more NBA postseason conversation as the play-in rolls on tonight with a pair of elimination games in the Eastern and Western Conferences. The 8 seeds on the line, joining us to talk it all over on the Progressive Guest Line. Noobs Christensen, NBA analyst for FTN Bets, FTN Network. Hoops with Noobs is top-tier branding, by the way. Well done, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, my pleasure. I got really lucky that my nickname happened to rhyme with Hoops. I assure you that was not intentional. It's always better to be lucky than good.
There we go. That is one of my favorite quotes of all time as well. I am right there with you. And let's hopefully get lucky with a couple of the games that we have on tap coming up tonight. What is your favorite bet of the two play-in games this evening?
I think that's the night game I like the most here. The Sacramento Kings, just 1-point favorites against the New Orleans Pelicans team that we know is missing Zion, that we saw bench Brandon Ingram the other night. We saw how limited CJ McCollum looks at this point. It's a team that, again, maybe I'm selling a little too low on them, basically, by taking the Kings here. But I like Sacramento. I had them as 3-point favorites here before even adjusting for Ingram not playing as well, McCollum not playing as well. I think top to bottom, Sacramento's the better team tonight. They match up well with New Orleans again. Sacramento's only real problem with the Pelicans this year was facing Zion. They don't have to deal with that tonight. It's what they're basically looking at is a team that now sets up similarly to them in terms of matchups. It just isn't quite as good. So I like the Kings. I was able to get it -1, -1.5 is perfectly fine. Really anything -2 or better looks good to me.
Let's look ahead and assume that the Kings can get it done on the road tonight, Noops. Going ahead into an 8-1 series against Oklahoma City, what kind of a price would you need to look at taking the Kings to pull the upset or perhaps a game handicap?
It would have to be a pretty big number. Oklahoma City, again, the way I just described how the Kings are similar to what the Pelicans look like now, Oklahoma City is just honestly a better version of what Sacramento is here. They're deeper. They have the best player. They have the coach. You know, to bet somebody like the Kings, we'd have to get a number probably in the plus 500, plus 600 range, you know, maybe even bigger than that. So everything to me screams Thunder, and I'll probably honestly find a way to back them, you know, -1.5 games, -2.5 games. If we can get a -2.5 game price, you know, similar to what we see in the Denver series, right around +130, +140. I think that's going to be a really nice bet.
So we talk about the lack of availability for Zion Williamson. Also, in that first game of the day, Bulls Heat, no Jimmy Butler, unfortunately, yet Miami still favored by 1.5. The total in that one, 206. Where do you lean there?
I like the over here. I know that it's tough. You know, Jimmy Butler's out. That should mean less scoring, but it really doesn't for Miami. I think that the market here is failing to understand how the style of this game is going to change. Without Butler on the floor, Miami generally pushes pace. We're going to see a lot more Tyler Hero tonight. And we did see some of that the other night against Philadelphia. They were trying to get up and down the court. We saw how well that zone defense, which really, people, it's just a press. It is a zone defense, but what is really tough about it is they come out to half court base, basically start trapping guys really high, and you saw the amount of turnovers they were able to generate. That's great for scoring. We have extra possessions. That's great for the pace. Again, all that stuff really helps. The over here should be a fun matchup. The Bulls have been a pretty good scoring team the last couple of weeks. A lot of people tend to think of Chicago as more of a defensive unit. That's not the case this summer, this year. So the total right now sitting, I believe, at 206, 206.5. I have it just over 210. So anything 207.5 or lower looks good to me.
Noobs, I was talking to Stormy earlier in the show about there are three lower-seeded teams that are favored in these series in the first round in the NBA. I don't remember when I've ever seen that. Of the three that are dogs that are higher-seeded, Minnesota, Milwaukee, and the LA Clippers, which one is most likely to pull the upset?
I probably have to lean towards the Clippers, but it's pretty close. For me, it's the Clippers or the Timberwolves. You know, I kind of have to write off Milwaukee. It sounds like we're not going to have Giannis game one. I'd be surprised if he plays game two, and if he does, he won't be 100% healthy. We know what Glenn Rivers does in the postseason. He is not a dynamic adjuster. He is not the guy you want trying to deal with the mess they have in Milwaukee. So I actually like the Pacers quite a bit there. Minnesota, I think, has a chance to beat Phoenix, but it's just a really bad matchup for Minnesota. They're a really good defensive team. The Suns still have guys that can score one-on-one and just enough defense to keep Minnesota from scoring. But if the Clippers can get Kawhi Leonard back by the second game healthy, it sounds like there's a chance he plays game one. I expect him to be back for game two. Things can get really interesting. We saw the peak potential of that Clippers team for about 2 months during the middle of the year. They match up fairly well against the Mavericks again when they're healthy. They've got a couple wing guys to throw at Luka and Kyrie. Again, I think all three are losers, but if I have to pick one, I think the Clippers have the best chance of that bunch.
NBA analyst at FTN Bets, Noops Christensen, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In addition to, you know, betting these series prices, you can go game by game, you can bet exact results. You're looking at a series spread in the Nuggets and Lakers. Why do you feel so confident laying 2.5 games with the defending champion Nuggets?
There's a lot of recorded audio and video of me telling people the Nuggets are going to win the championship. I'll say it again. The Nuggets are going to win the championship. They are the best team in the league. They have the best player. When Jamal Murray is healthy, and he is, they have the best two-man game, basically, in the NBA. This Lakers team takes advantage of opponents by being bigger. They use their size, their physicality. You're not going to bother the Nuggets. No one's bigger than the Nuggets, maybe the Timberwolves. But again, everything that the Lakers do to try to attack opponents, Denver is set up to go against. The Nuggets have home court advantage. That's really huge. They've beaten the Lakers, I believe, at 7 or 8 times in a row here, including the playoffs last year. I think we're looking at another either sweep or gentleman sweep, they call it. Give me the Nuggets in 5 games or less.
The 4-5 matchup in the East features the Cavaliers and the Orlando Magic. Only a game separated them in the standings. It's 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6 were all very closely contested this year. Why are the Magic such a big dog against Cleveland? And you'll explain that, why you like them in the series.
Yeah, it's one of those series that reminds me why betting is so great, because we don't have to watch these games. We can just wait and see what kind of the results are. These are going to be really ugly basketball games. To me, this series is going to look a lot like Cleveland and New York from last year. We saw games in the 80s and 90s, just really, really messy basketball. Cleveland getting a lot of credit for what their peak potential is. I think if you go back and look for the year when all four of those guys are healthy, the four being Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and Evan Mobley, they were pretty good for certain stretches. They didn't get to play together a lot. And over the last month, it appears the defenses have figured out how to adjust for having both Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the floor together. That puts two big guys on the floor that are not particularly great shooters. It really messes up the spacing and makes things harder for Donovan Mitchell, who, again, is not 100% here. He's been dealing with a knee injury for the last month. Darius Garland just doesn't look right. I'm not sure what's going on with him. So I've got a team in Cleveland that basically seems like they're on a downward trend here, going up against an Orlando team that, yes, is very young, that, yes, does not have a guard as good as Donovan Mitchell, but they've got Jalen Suggs, who was going to give Mitchell fits. They've got Paolo Banchero, who I think is one of those next guys to become a regular all-star, to push his way into that 10, 15 best players in the NBA conversation, and they have the best defense in the NBA since the all-star break. I think the Magic are going to be able to make life miserable for the Cavaliers, find just enough points themselves to eke out these games. I played them plus 165, and as I like to do with underdogs, because underdogs get to host game 6. Give me the Magic -1.5 games in the series +275. That basically means they have to close it out in game 6 or better. It's always hard for those teams to go on the road basically to close out in 7. So give me the Magic to win the series straight up. That's a nice number. And then -1.5 games as well.
Noops, big picture in the Eastern Conference. Obviously, the Boston Celtics are a big favorite there. You look at the Giannis Antetokounmpo injury with Milwaukee. The 76ers are favored in their initial series here with the Knicks, but Joel Embiid coming back from injury, he's not himself. He's not in great shape. Who do you think is the biggest competition for Boston in the East?
I think it's whoever wins that Philadelphia 76ers, New York Knicks series. Both of those teams present challenges for Boston. You know, Philadelphia, obviously, Joel Embiid. There is not really anybody who can guard Joel Embiid. The Celtics are not particularly well equipped to do that, as good as Porzingis is, but Embiid, it will probably be the best player in that series. And again, playoffs generally come down to who's the best coach, who's the best star, and then kind of you go downward from there. The Sixers, again, you've got Nick Nurse, one of the best coaches in the league. You've got Embiid, a great star player. For the Knicks, you've got a great coach in Tom Thibodeau, a guy in Jalen Brunson who could be a star. And again, the Knicks really deep. They match up well. So I think whoever comes out of that series is going to be the biggest challenge to Boston.
Noops, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, guys. Best of luck till we talk again.
Thank you.
Back at you. Great stuff there. Follow him on X at _Noops. Again, doing great work over there at FTN Bets. Noops Christensen, his favorite plays, Bulls Heat over 206. I see a 205.5 out there right now as well. Taking the Kings tonight as well. And then in the series, the Magic to beat the Cavaliers, and the Nuggets laying 2.5 games against the Lakers. That one, how competitive do you think that the Lakers will be in that series?
Well, they'll always put on. The NBA needs the Lakers to put on a good show.
Well, even though
is no good.
Even though they did get swept last year, like the games were good.
They were.
So we'll see what they're able to do. We're going to hit the break here when we come back to a little NFL draft conversation. This time next week, we will already know the results of the first round. We'll keep getting into it.
This is the Lombardi Line with Scorey Bonatoni and Mike Palm on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSIN. New customers that do can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code VSIN, V-S-I-N. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. Again, the play-in rolling on tonight with 8 seeds on the line in the Eastern and Western Conference. The Bulls getting 1.5 against the Miami Heat. Kings and Pelicans, 1-point spread there, total to 10.5. So that'll be fun tonight to finally have that playoff picture cemented. This time next week, we will have the first round cemented. We will have all of our questions answered as it pertains to who's going where in the first round. But as of right now, we're just asking those questions to head coaches and GMs and press conferences, apparently. And Sean Payton, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, was asked right off the top of his presser yesterday about what they plan to do in the draft and their needs at quarterback. Take a listen.
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question. And so that's the puzzle here.
You don't want to do, Mike, is force it. And, otherwise we'll be in this position next year and the years after. So you want to get the right player at 12. Our first pick we got to hit on, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a tackle, receiver, you name it. We need to get an impact player.
That second voice you heard there, general manager of the Broncos, George Patton. I too would like to get my hands on one of those tip sheets, though, Mike. That'd be great.
I didn't know they existed other than at the racetrack. It's tip sheets. Who will be available at 12? It's interesting. I mean, you would think McCarthy's going to be off the board, right? The four would be off the board. Could Penix have fallen to 12, depending on the medical reports? Would they be able to get Penix? Would other teams ahead of them think about getting Penix if he's not available there? They do have teams, at 7, 8, 9, 10, kind of in front of them that are looking defensive on the defensive side of the ball. So maybe they would be there. I would be more offended if they took Nix at 12 than you're offended if McCarthy went third. I'll just tell you that.
No, I'm with you. I do not understand the argument for Bo Nix to be a first round quarterback. I don't see it. Mm-hmm. Michael Penix, we've talked about this because you said, I believe yesterday, that Michael Penix is your number three quarterback right now, regardless of medical.
Yes.
I said, had he not had the medical issues, he might be my number two, just in general. And it's hard to separate that because when you've had 2 ACL injuries and you've had 2 shoulder injuries, it's hard to know or expect what you're going to get from that player in the long term from a health standpoint. But he has stayed healthy the last 2 years at Washington. He has shown that he can get through a full long season, making it all the way to a national championship last year. So I love Michael Penix. I hope that he gets an opportunity to be a first round pick, not only because I like the guy, because I bet it as well. I did bet him under 32.5 for his position.
Yeah, I know there's the market available before Nix, but you'd have to lay a higher price than you did for first round. Mm-hmm. But I do like that bet.
You guys have that matchup, that head-to-head, right?
It's 280 or something like that. It's a pretty hefty favorite for – and if you love Nix, I guess, and you think there's some medical issues and that you think Denver would take him at 12, I guess maybe it's worth a shot. But I think it's plus 240 or plus 235 to take Nix in that spot. But I don't see it. And to your point, he played a long, grueling season. He played as many games as you could, right? And he played in bad weather in the Pac-12, cold, freezing rain at Oregon State was awful. The game against Washington State was awful. He beat Oregon twice as an underdog, right?
It's like, what more can he do to show you?
What more can he do? Right, exactly. So, and I look forward to actually watching him play in the NFL. I hope he's healthy because I think he will create a lot of excitement. You talk about a beautiful deep ball. His poise on third down. I mean, I love the kid. And I mean, we saw it when he was in Indiana, what he did for that dormant team in the COVID year. So, I don't know where they would go. I mean, if Nix was available in the second round to them, would he take him? I don't know what Peyton is really looking for. It's hard for me to tell what he's looking for, right? Because you can narrow his career. Like, what do you say, typecasting an actor? They played one role and that's all you know them as? I mean, we know him as Drew Brees, really, right? That's what we know him as. And and he did such a great job, but what else can he do and what type of quarterback does he want? But I mean, certainly you'd think they were drafting with somebody that's going to be ready to go this year.
Sean Payton's still just kicking himself that he didn't get Patrick Mahomes that one year. Broncos are plus 115 to take a quarterback. Yeah. D-line edge plus 230, corner plus 350, O-line plus 750. Bo Nix in his team to be drafted by odds. Broncos are minus 175. Penix, as far as his odds go with the Broncos, plus 550. They're the fourth potential team on the odds board of which team will draft Michael Penix. The Raiders are a plus 260 favorite, followed by the Vikings and Seattle Seahawks there. I'm curious with the Broncos if trading up is in play, if there's somebody that they like, if it was a J.J. McCarthy, for example, that they were very interested in, would they try to leapfrog, or would that be too expensive, too pricey for them to do? You just know, given what they had and still paying Russell Wilson $80+ million, that they need to get a quarterback and somebody that they won't have to pay much money to on a rookie deal.
Yeah, I don't know. I would think with Peyton, they might want to do that. I mean, obviously, you've got one of the great play callers. You're going to want a quarterback that's versatile enough to take advantage of it. But remember those years in New Orleans, too. They ran the ball extremely effectively as well and were balanced. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking the Vikings are a likely candidate to try to move up to New England spot. I think they're the most likely team that would do something with New England to try to get and maybe they're okay with going either May or Daniels. Maybe it's one or the other, and they would make the deal if the one is still available. But what do they have? I mean, they're still in the position you would think the Vikings are to be a playoff team. Division got a heck of a lot tougher than it was a year ago, right? I mean, all of a sudden, like, all the teams could be viable depending on who the Vikings have as a quarterback. But certainly you're looking at Green Bay, who was terrific the back half of the year and probably should have won in San Francisco. The Lions had a 17-point lead in the second half of the NFC Championship game. The Bears had the best rush defense in football. They're going to add the number one pick and the number nine pick. And then here you have the Vikings.
I think whichever quarterback goes to the Vikings, that'll be the best situation for a rookie quarterback coming out of this class, because you do think about the weapons that they have. Justin Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Jordan Addison, who played really well when Jefferson was injured, TJ Hawkinson, Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler, even a great play caller in Kevin O'Connell, and an opportunity if need be to sit because he signed Sam Darnold on a 1-year deal. So I think that the Vikings have potential, but then again, I like the Vikings over their season win total last year, and that crashed and burned. Despite having, they had 7 wins at what point in the season, and then they just could not get 2 more.
They probably should have won the game in Cincinnati. They had winnable games too. Down. And then the one they put the one kid in at quarterback in a home game. It was terrible, and they had a ton of chances to go over your total. And remember, it was 5 less. They say you got to win 5 less games to go under. Remember from the year before? How does that happen?
Words cannot describe how frustrated I was the way that played out. I'm pulling up their schedule right now. They were 6-4 through week 10, 7-6 through week 14, lose 4 straight the rest of the way.
Tough.
Like, they lose 6 of their last 7 games and make me want to kill myself, but neither here nor there. The Giants are having buyer's remorse, just like I was on that bet, apparently, about Daniel Jones, according to reports coming out of the NFL Combine. But GM Joe Shane met with media yesterday. He said he expects and believes Daniel Jones to be ready to go, day one starter this year, and said that they're taking some calls at number 6 as well about that pick. But there's been a lot of speculation they might try to take a quarterback early.
Well, what's Tyrod's status? Is he still there? Is he gone somewhere else?
Isn't he on the Jets?
Is he there now? I don't know. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, Jets. He's behind Rodgers.
He was their best starter last year. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. He gave them the best chance to win more than Daniel Jones did. Yeah, the Italian kid's not the long-term.
Tommy DeVito. Cutlets, baby.
He got his 15 minutes. That's terrific. But obviously, they've got it. Don't you think that's a huge need for them? They made a mistake. Michael tried to tell them. They don't.
Everyone tried to tell them. Who are you competing with to pay this guy? He had one good year. And it wasn't even like it was a great year. It was a good year. Everything else in the sample size with Daniel Jones has showed you that he is not a good quarterback. He is an injury-prone quarterback. Neck injuries. Numerous neck injuries. ACL tear now. Like, he can't stay healthy and he's not good. What are we doing?
Would they try to move up to get somebody? Would they try to do a deal with New England?
He said he's been getting calls Didn't say about that trading up or trading down.
I'm assuming it's to go down,
to go,
right?
Have to be.
Right, to go down. Somebody wants to get a quarterback at six.
Do you think, like, they said that they're not opposed to it if they fall in love with one of these guys? But is that
wouldn't they
realistic?
Already be in love? Wouldn't they already be? There's how much so more many, do they need to know?
There's so many quarterback needy teams that are fighting for these four guys that three of them you know are going to be busts. It's just
can't
crazy.
Two of them be good?
I guess, hypothetically. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. Reset an hour or two in a moment.